Exodus chapter 25. I'm sorry, Exodus chapter number 29. And we're going to begin again talking about the altar tonight. I have no pretense that I'm going to finish this, and but we'll take it as far as God wants to go, and then we'll stop. And if we come back to it, we will. If not, we'll move on. But I feel like the Lord wants to help us here with this first part of it here tonight. Amen. And so we're going to the book of Exodus, chapter number 29, verses 36 and 37. Verse 36 says, "And thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering." Everybody say, every day.
Every day.
Amen. "Thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering for atonement. And thou shalt cleanse the altar when thou hast made an atonement for it. Thou shalt anoint it and sanctify it. 7 days thou shalt make an atonement for the altar and sanctify it. And it shall be an altar most holy. And whatsoever toucheth the altar shall be holy." That's powerful. Amen. That's powerful. "Whatsoever shall touch the altar shall be holy." But, amen, that does not just happen. There is some prerequisites for that. We're to cleanse the altar, make an atonement for it, anoint it and sanctify it. 7 days making an atonement for the altar to sanctify it. "And thou shalt, and it shall be an altar most holy. Whatsoever toucheth the altar shall be holy." Praise God. And so tonight I just want to talk to you for a while about cleanse it, anoint it, and sanctify it. Amen. Cleanse it, anoint it, and sanctify it. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Jesus, for your word. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I pray, sweet Holy Ghost, that you would have your perfect way in this place tonight. I'm praying, God, that revelation would come to us and be imparted unto us. Let the power of your Spirit minister and move amongst us, O God. God, and we'll be quick to give you the glory and the honor and the thanks. We're in love with you and we are indebted to you. God, and we're asking you one more time, God, to make this word become like water to wash our souls, bread to feed our hungry hearts. And we thank you and glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And God bless you. You may be seated. Now, I know that these are the famous last words of a preacher, but and I know I've tried to do it several times, but I'm going to tell you one more time. I'm going to try to slow down. And it's because what we have to talk about here tonight needs to be caught, and we don't want to go too fast with it. I feel like this is a very, very important part, not because I'm preaching it, not because it's, I just feel like the altar and what happens at the altar is very, very, it is unique in what happens at the altar. But it's very, very important what happens at that altar. And I don't believe that we can bypass it whatsoever at all. Amen. We cannot bypass what happens at the altar. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Somebody said many, many years ago, man may worship God without a temple if he has an altar, but he may not worship God without an altar even if he has a temple. Amen. We've got to have an altar. Got to have an altar in our lives. Praise God. One of the altars that we read about in the Bible is there by a man by the name of Elijah. And in this scripture setting where he has got 400 prophets of Baal there and the prophets of Ashtoreth there as well, we see that they worshiped at an altar, that they worshiping a false god, a false deity, that they worshiped at an altar. And they took their sacrifice and they put it upon that altar and they sacrificed it there. And not only did they do that, but the Bible says that they jumped upon the altar and that they cut themselves. And they began to cry out, and Elijah began to mock them and say, "Well, cry louder, for maybe your God is on a long trip, and maybe he is sleeping." And so But they recognized the importance that it had to be done at an altar. And so they went to this altar and they performed their sacrifice and they prayed there at their altar for many, many hours. And finally, coming time for the evening sacrifice, Elijah stopped them and he said unto them, "Come near unto me," and all the people came unto him. And then the Bible says it like this: "And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down." And so the first thing that we see is that Elijah did not sacrifice at the heathens' altars. He did not, knowing that the altar of the Lord was in disarray, he did not ask them, "Would it be okay if I borrowed your altar, seeing that this altar is broken down?" But he knew that that was not going to be possible. He was not going to worship at the altars of the false gods. And so the Bible says that he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. It does not tell us how that it was broken down. It does not necessarily tell us why it was broken down. All we can do is draw an inference or a deduction about why that it would be. And I am here to tell you tonight that the reason that the altar was in such disarray and that was broken down was simply because of neglect. It was neglect. Nobody had worshipped upon that altar in quite some time. Nobody had used that altar for a great long period of time. It was an altar that had been totally neglected. And in being neglected, it broke down. I looked at one of my vehicles the other day, and we're in the process of trying to get rid of it, and we're trying to acquire the title somewhere or another. We've lost the title, and so we're sending an application in to the DMV to try to get that title so that we can go ahead and sell it. But it's been a good vehicle for a long period of time, not so much anymore. It's got a whole lot of miles on it. And so it had some issues with overheating and just skipping all of that part. We replaced it and got something else for the interim. And so that car has been sitting over on the side towards the back of the driveway there. And it's just been sitting there. And so I walked by it the other day and I noticed that the back tire's flat. And, we didn't run over anything. It hasn't been out on the street and hit something. It hasn't, ran over a nail or a thorn or a screw or anything else like that. It's just simple neglect. It's just simple neglect. It's just sitting there. And in the process of sitting there, it is deteriorating, decaying. It's breaking down without ever being used. And so hopefully somebody at some point in time will come pick it up and use it for parts. But nevertheless, this is what has happened with the altar that is of the Lord. It is neglect and it has broken down and crumbled. And so Elijah is going to take the time to make sure that he rebuilds the altar of the Lord. I wonder tonight if we were to be able to see a representation of our spiritual altar in our lives, I wonder what that altar would really look like. I wonder if it would be in top mint condition and top shape, amen, or if it would be broken down and in disarray. For the past 3.5 years, we've lived in a place where car washes are just about non-existent. I don't even know why. Somebody could put in a nice car wash there and probably make a whole lot of money. But where I was from, down closer to Houston, they had a lot of car washers. They had a car wash down there that was kind of like what we see up here, where you can pay like a monthly fee, and it just takes your car through there and just washes it all off. And then the vacuum vacuums are free, and you can get over there and vacuum it out. And I had my truck there, and I'm telling you what, my truck was always spick and span. And it was a black truck and had black interior and such. And Marcus worked just right across the street from that. And every day when I'd take him to work, I'd go run through the car wash, need it or not. It's free. I'm paying a monthly payment. Sometimes if it was a little bit dirty, I'd run it through twice. And then you get to go over there to the vacuums, and you get to vacuum it, and it stays so nice and clean inside. And then we went into Aransas Pass, and it's a sandy soil, sand everywhere, and no car washes and such. And my truck was wondering what happened to it, and it was always dirty, and the inside was dirty, and there was sand in the carpet all the time and such. And so I get my wife's vehicle here, and I got 3,500 miles of bugs all over the front of it, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to take it in and get it washed. And so went in and got it washed, and it looked so nice, and went to the free vacuums and vacuumed it out, and it made it look nice on the inside. And the other day I got to looking, and it was had some grass and some stuff in the floorboard. I just swung back by and grabbed the vacuum cleaner and vacuumed it out again. And then yesterday I just went back by and washed it again. And it looks so nice, and said, amen. But it's because somebody's taking care of it, and somebody's putting some time into it, and making sure that things are done upon a regular basis, and that is the reflection of the altar that is in our life. And if you spend time at that altar in your life, then it's going to look like somebody is spending time at that altar. Amen. But if not, it's going to look like the rejected car that's sitting in the driveway that's got a flat tire and nobody's driven it, and you open it up and it just smells, amen, stale and musky. And so if your altar is neglected, it's going to resemble, amen, an altar of negligence. Amen. If your altar is used, then it's going to resemble, amen, an altar that is being used. And so I wonder if we were have to have a spiritual representation of what our altars are in our lives, a reflection of the altars in our life. I wonder what it would actually look like. Would it look like it needs a whole lot of work and repair? Amen. Or would you be okay with somebody walking by your altar? If you had to put your altar up here tonight, amen, and you had to stand behind that altar, amen, and show, amen, knowing that it was a reflection of your use at that altar, amen, would you be proud of that altar, or would you hang your head, amen, in shame about the condition of your altar? This is the reflection that we see here with Elijah. And he sees there is a broken down altar there. And he sees an altar over here that has been used for the past several hours, and that there is a sacrifice that is already upon it, that is slain, that the blood is there. Amen. But Elijah knows, amen, that it is of utmost importance that he just go ahead and repair the altar of Jehovah, the altar of the Almighty God. And so, amen, he takes the time. It is worth taking the time to fix up your altar. Praise God, praise God. I want you to know tonight that there are things that will happen at your altar that will never happen at the altar of the false gods. Amen. There are miracles that is going to happen at your altar, amen, that will never take place with you worshiping around somebody else's altar. You can go worship at the altars of this world. You can even have a representation of religion about you, but there's something about the altar of God and what happens at the altar of God. Amen. Elijah knew what I am looking for will never take place at the altars of this world. But what I desire has got to be at the altar, and only on the altar of God. Church, can I submit to you tonight that what we are looking for will never take place at the altars of the charismatics? What we are looking for, amen, will never take place at the altars
amen, of compromise. What we are looking for will never take place at the altars of this world. It is worth us taking the time to repair the altars of God in our life, to make sure that they're cleansed, that they're anointed, and that they're sanctified, so that everything that touches it shall be made holy. Let's love the Lord today. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Amen, amen. Not only did Elijah take the time to rebuild the altar of God, we see that in doing so, let me not get ahead of myself here real quick. Amen. We may not make it very far whatsoever at all tonight. We'll just see. But we see in the book of Exodus, chapter number 20 and verse number 25, this is the first time that we see or hear about an altar. And the Bible says here, right at the end of the commandments, the Ten Commandments, it's not the first time altar Abraham, there was altars and stuff, but nevertheless, here it says, and if thou wilt make an altar of stone, Exodus 20 and 25, if thou wilt make an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Amen. And so how to build this altar is given by the Lord. And he says that when you built it, you're supposed to make it of stone, or that this altar of stone, amen, that you should not build it of hewn stones. Amen. Because when you lift up a tool against it, you have polluted it. And so what we can see from this, as we look at Elijah in Exodus chapter number in 1 Kings chapter number 18 and verses 30 and 31. I'm not going to read 30. That's where he repaired the altar. But the Bible says in 18 and 31 that Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribe of the sons of Jacob, of whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, and as great as it would contain two measures of seed. And so Elijah here makes an altar of stone according to the commandments that God gave in Exodus chapter number 20, that they were not to make it with hewn stone so that it would not be polluted. And so what we see here, amen, that in these stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel, amen, every stone representing a family matter, amen, a part of the family that was there, and it was not to be of hewn stone, amen. The simple deduction and the lesson that we can learn here today is that God does not want fragments of our lives, but he wants our whole life, amen. He does not want you, amen, to just pieces of your life given unto him to create this altar. God wants your entire life. Fragments of a life equate unto a polluted altar. When you only put pieces of this, of your life upon an altar, when you only build an altar with part of your life, amen, it's not holy unto God. Amen, I'm going to get into it here in a little bit, but God wants every part of us. God wants your life. God wants your todays. God wants your past. God wants your tomorrows. God wants the good. God wants the bad. God wants everything. He's not interested in you shaping it all up. You don't get good to get God. You get God to get good. Let him mold you. Let him make you. Let him be the potter and you be the clay, instead of you deciding what's good and what's not good. Just give yourself to God and let God take care of all of it. Hallelujah. The Bible said that God knows how to beautify the meek with salvation. You may be saying, well, I'm going to keep this part and throw away this part. No, just give it all to God. Let God have the fragments. Let God have all of you so that he can make something beautiful out of it. And so when Elijah had made this altar, the Bible says that he took at the evening time the sacrifice, that they poured the water upon it, and that he took the ox, he took the sacrifice, and that he slayed that sacrifice, and he laid it upon his altar. And so the next lesson that we learn here, amen, is we're not using the world's sacrifice at our altar. And they had a sacrifice that was perfectly available. And maybe somebody even said, hey, Elijah, we can save a lot of time if you'll just skip rebuilding that altar and use this altar. And we can save even more time if you'll just skip that sacrifice. We've got a sacrifice that's already right here. I mean, what is the difference? An altar is an altar, isn't it? And a sacrifice is a sacrifice, isn't it? I believe that Elisha's actions showed us a little bit different. That it's worth the time to invest into our altar. That it's worth the time to rebuild our altar. That it's worth the time to offer our sacrifice. Amen. Somebody else's sacrifice isn't going to accomplish what I need. Somebody else's sacrifice isn't going to get fire down. Amen. Amen. Like I need. Amen. Somebody else's sacrifice isn't going to answer. Amen. The prayer like I need answered. Hallelujah. We'll get into all of this here in just a little bit, but this is the truth. Amen. God wants you, and God wants a full sacrifice, and God wants a full altar. Amen. This is the way that God wants it. I want to make sure that the altar is right in the sight of God. I don't want the beginning to cause God to stay away. I don't want the beginning to be messed up. The foundation of it all, amen, to be sacrificed so that I can't get it. Elijah said, let the God that answers by fire be the God of all. If he's going to answer by fire, the altar's got to be right, and the sacrifice has got to be right, and the prayer has got to be right. Hey, somebody, I want to make sure my altar is right. I want to make sure my sacrifice is right, and I want to make sure my praying is right.
Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And so that's the altar. That's the altar. And we need to make sure that we're taking adequate time to make our altar what it needs to be. Repaired or kept up to par. Amen. And our sacrifice must be right. Praise God. Now, so the writer in Exodus, Moses chapter 29, he said, and thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering. We'll talk about a sin offering here in a little bit. But he said, thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering. Every day. Every day. Not this one time a year at Easter. Well, that's Passover, and that's, you know, that's atonement. No. He said every day. Every day. I think it's important that we visit our altar every day. There are times that I don't make it to my altar every day. And I pray, God, forgive me for not making it to my altar today. I need to make it to my altar every day. Amen. He said one time, he said, can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. God, forgive us. If we do not have time to pray, make time to pray, amen, in a continual basis. Come on. This is all goes back to us desiring the favor of God. We want the favor of God. This is where Cain and Abel were. They were seeking for the favor of God at the altar. Amen. Praise God. And God, forgive us if the only time that we can pray is Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. What kind of people are we if that's all that we can think of? And then we come to the church and we say, oh God, bless us, bless us, bless us, bless us in Jesus' name. And so he said, and thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering. 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 8. He said that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And so this just brings it down that we ought not to be as the Pharisees that would come before the altar and say, well, I'm thankful that I'm not like this one over here that's so full of sin. I'm holy, and I don't have any sin in me. No, what John is telling us here, that when he says, if we say that we have no sin, we're lying. Why? It's because we live in a world of sin. Now, praise God, help me here today, because I can go a million and one ways here right now. I'm not justifying any type of sin at all, whatsoever at all. Romans chapter number 6, he said, what then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. For how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And so if we've truly repented of our sins, then we ought not to live in sin. Because when you've repented of your sins, amen, repenting isn't just saying I'm sorry, but repenting is going the other way. It's a military term. Amen. That means that you turn around and you go the other way. I went this way and I got in a lot of trouble, so I'm going to turn around and I'm going to go the other way. I'm going away from sin. That's what it is. We're not justifying any type of sin, but nevertheless, we are in this world, but not of this world. And there are going to be things that being in this world that we're going to come in contact with that we need to make sure that we cleanse ourselves of, even as the Bible teaches us, amen, in Corinthians, having therefore these promises, let us therefore cleanse ourselves of all the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the sight of God. And so we've got to cleanse ourselves. Amen. Everybody take a shower or a bath here today. Amen. You know why you did that? Because you're dirty. But that doesn't mean that you went out and played in the mud. That just simply means that you lived. And because that you live, amen, you begin to have what they call stink, some body odor. And you got to take a shower, a bath to take care of these things. Amen. When you're in sin and you're around sin, amen, you're going to get the smell of sin that is there. You say, no, 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 no. Then why is it that when we come to God and come into the church and there's no sin that we have necessarily committed, but we feel icky? And you get around a bunch of construction men and all they want to do is cuss all day. And I'm hearing that it's not just in the construction field. And you get around in the offices and you get around all this and all they want to talk about is their perverted mind and all that other stuff. And you didn't take part in it. Amen. You didn't give any perverted story. You wasn't cussing. Amen. You weren't involved in all that. You weren't laughing at their dirty jokes and all this other stuff. But when you come to the house of God, amen, you just feel icky. And it's time to cleanse ourselves of all the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Amen. It's time to get down at an altar and say, God, we need you. Amen. We're going to get into it. I'm just shotgun style here today. But there is a thing called, amen, ignorant sin or inadvertent sin. Amen. It's spoke of in the book of Leviticus chapter number 4. We're going to get there here in a few minutes, so let me not jump ahead of myself. I'm a plural. How about myself? I don't know that I could handle more than one of me. Amen. Praise God.
And so when we get to that place that there are some things in our life that may not be so absolutely black and white, may not be so thou shalt and thou shalt not, may not be that we know exactly what it is. But friend, when you get into a place and a situation and you come out of that and you think to yourself, you know what, I'm not ever going to do that again. I don't know exactly what's wrong with it, but it just doesn't feel right. There's just some. You go into a store or something. Man, what's this store? And you walk into a store and you get in there and you get to looking around. And you say, you know what? This isn't a good place to be. I think that I'm going to get out of here. And you get out of there. Amen. There's some things that you may not have known and you partake of. And finally, when it's all said and done, it was some type of deception or some type of, and you were the one that was deceived. And you just feel like, you know what? I may have grieved God in all of this. And you know what? I think I've actually sinned. I don't know, but it just doesn't feel right. God has got a sacrifice, even for the ignorant sin, amen, or the inadvertent sin, the things that we may not know, but there is a place that God has said, this is how clean I want you to be. I want you to come to an altar and I want you to say, God, forgive me of all of my sins and everything that I've done wrong, and forgive me of everything that has grieved you. Forgive me of everything that I've done that I don't even know that's wrong. And if you'll bring it to my attention, God, I promise you, I'll never do it again. You see, friend, there's some things that may not be in that Bible, but it's just personal convictions that you have, that I have, that we have. Amen. And we just feel dirty or bad about it. And God has got this as a relationship between me and you, or you and him, and me and him, and you and him. Amen. And you make a personal commitment with God and say, okay, God, I'm not going to do that again. Please forgive me of it. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, he said, when he got to talking about the fruits of repentance, he said, oh, what clearing of yourselves. Amen. Oh, what clearing of yourselves. Amen. This came to the place, amen, that when you get into a situation like this, amen, clearing of yourself, that fruit of repentance that is there, amen, that you have that mindset. I don't even want to be associated with that. I'm going to clear myself so far away. I'm going to get so far away than that, that I'm not going to be associated. I'm not going to be mistakenly placed in this. I'm going to make sure that I am clear in the matter. Hey, there's nothing wrong that's with that. Hey, man, that's how important I take my relationship with God. Oh, God, I want you to know how much that I love you. Not just in word, but in my actions. In everything that I do, I want to be pleasing to you.
Praise God. Praise God. There are times that, you know, I'm driving down the road. We were just having this conversation the other day. I don't even remember who it was with, but driving down the road, I saw somebody that was broke down, some lady that was broke down on the interstate. And I just picked up my phone and called my wife. I'm driving down the road. I picked up my phone and called my wife. I said, hey, hon. I said, there's a lady broke down on the side of the road over here, and I told her about where it was and stuff. I said, I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to make sure that she's okay, that everything is all right, okay? And so, yeah, okay. And so she may have stayed on the phone. She may have not. I don't even remember. But I went. But what am I doing? I'm making sure that I'm clear. Because I don't want to be, I don't want Brother So-and-so to be driving by, and he sees his pastor out there was standing on the side of the road with some lady. I'm being careful. Oh, what carefulness. Oh, what clearing of yourself. This is what it's all. Why? Because I've got a relationship. In this case, I've got a relationship with my wife. And I don't want anything coming back to her secondhand saying, you know what, I saw your husband on the side of the road with some lady. She can say, yeah, I know about that. He called me and talked to me. I actually was on the phone with him the whole entire time that he was there. Oh, okay.
This is how I want my relationship with God to be. This is how clean I want my altar to be. I don't want my altar to be speckled. Amen. I don't want my altar to be spotted. I don't want my altar to be torn and to be rent. Amen. I am that altar. Amen. I am that place. And I am the sacrifice. Amen. I want to be holy as I lay myself upon that altar and say, oh God, I want to make sure that I am acceptable. Why? Because the acceptance of God equates to the favor of God. I want the favor of God in my life. I want the favor of God in the church. I want the favor of God upon my family. It's up to me to make sure that that altar is repaired, is fixed, and that I am holy like I need to be. Let's love the Lord today. And so, we're not going into this place of, well, I don't have any sin, so I don't have anything to pray about. See, all of that just to say that. No, every day, offering a bullock for a sin offering, every day. And like I said, we'll get into that sin offering here in a little bit. But every day, I'm coming to that altar with a sin offering. God, there's things that I do know about that we need to take care of. There's an attitude that I had. Need to take care of it. And if there be anything else, I want you to forgive me of it. And if you'll bring it to my attention, I'll make sure that I take care of it. That's taking care of an altar. That's the process of taking care of the altar. Amen. And so if we say that we have no sin, if we confess our sins, He is just and able to forgive us of our sin. All right, now let's get to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, and chapter 5. We're not going to go through the whole thing. Some of the most redundant chapters in your Bible. But it's redundant, like we talked about Sunday night, because it has importance. It's important. This is how important that it is to God. But you know, we look at it and we say, here we go. A burnt offering, if thou shalt for a burnt offering, okay. Meat offering, same thing. Peace offering, same thing. Sin offering, same things, a little bit different. Trespass offering, same things, a little bit different. Okay, well, I've got those five chapters out of the way. Time to move on. But there's so much in this, and so we're going to take it and we're going to dissect it here tonight. Amen. So Leviticus chapter number 1 talks about the burnt offering. The burnt offering. And the first thing that we need to know about the burnt offering is that it was a voluntary offering. It was not a mandatory offering. It was a voluntary offering. God said, we want this offering to be, when you come, it is going to be that if you should offer a burnt offering, it shall be a voluntary offering. Now, the sin offering was not a voluntary offering, as we saw there in the book of Exodus 29, he said, thou shalt offer every day a bullock for a sin offering. For that was a mandatory offering. He said, this is what you're going to do. But in this situation, it's a little bit different. He's talking about a burnt offering. And this burnt offering, I wish that I would have taken the time to break it down even finer. But he talks about the offering of the herd, that if you're going to bring one of the herd, then this is what you're going to do. And if you're going to bring it of the flock, then this is what you're going to do. If you're going to bring it of the fowl, then this is what you're going to do. But nevertheless, it's all a burnt offering. And so this was a voluntary offering. It was atonement for unintentional sin in general. Okay, we don't have time to go through and to read all of this. We'll never get done. But it was atonement for an unintentional sin in general. And it's simply, you say, because we know and we understand that the Old Testament is a shadow of what was to come in the New Testament. New Testament is the substance. The Old Testament is the shadow. And so we find out what the substance of the shadow was. And this is that the burnt offering indicates entire surrender. That burnt offering was to be burnt and consumed. There is nothing left of a burnt offering. It was consumed completely, entire
surrender. Amen. Entire surrender. And this is the reflection in what a burnt offering represents in our lives, is entire surrender. Now, entire surrender is a very voluntary issue, isn't it? You get to decide whether you're going to surrender or you're not going to surrender. You had to surrender to get the Holy Ghost. Amen. But there's a lot of people that are living life today, amen, trying to live for God and stuff, and they're having issues because they're not entirely surrendered. But you know what? God continues to love them. God continues to draw them. God continues to beckon them to a deeper consecration, a deeper walk, a deeper love. But they're just like a lot of us, just stubborn and hard-headed. And they would rather just walk into a wall and step back and look at the wall and say, if I try harder, I can go through it this time. Just walk straight back into that wall again. And you know what? They'll suffer bruises. They'll suffer cuts. They'll suffer hurt. They'll suffer stress and anxiety and worry. And they'll suffer all kinds of things because they refuse to surrender entirely to God. They've got this and they've got this. They've got all kinds of baggage in their life that they're not ready to turn over to God. They're consistent and content that they're going to carry it all the way to the pearly gates, I guess. They're going to make it, you know. Preacher, you can't tell me that this is sin. Well, I mean, come on. You're struggling to make it. Why don't you put some of that stuff down? No, thank you. I'll just continue. It's like a guy in a parka walking uphill in a 90-degree weather. Yeah, why don't you take that parka off and just drop it and let it go? No, thank you. Thanks for the suggestion, but I'll make it. That, or they stand up with the parka and all tied up and you can barely see them and stuff. Y'all pray for me that I'll make it. I'm struggling. Pray that I make it in Jesus' name all the way. Well, brother, lay some of that stuff down. You'll be okay. You'll breathe better. You'll feel better. No. I'd rather just struggle all the way. Just struggling for Jesus. That's the way they want to be. They got all these. I'm just pastoring. They got all these worldly friends and stuff, you know, heaped up on their back and they're trying to carry and stuff, you know. And you say, you know what? Are they going and drinking beer? No. Are they out partying all night? No. You know, is there anything that's totally wrong with that? No. But they're struggling. It's because they're always listening to worldly conversations and all this other stuff. And here they come into the house of God and they just barely make it in. And they sit there and you say, well, I mean, they was early stuff. No, spiritually, they just barely made it in. And you can see they're having a hard time praying. They got the action. They're walking back and forth, but their mind's not there. They're not plugged in. They're not tuned in. They're not anything. They're just there. And they're struggling. Everybody's worshiping God, you know, and they're looking around. They're just, I mean, like lost in a snowstorm. Don't even really know which way to go, what to do. Amen, you know. You got all these people that want to carry all the cares of life, all the cares of world. And the Bible says specifically, cast all of your cares upon Him because He cares for you. No, thank you. I'd rather just carry all this. I'm going to be stronger for Jesus. And the Lord's just sitting up there saying, you know what, if you want to, you know, if you want to gamble with your salvation like that and see if you can make it, maybe you can, maybe you won't. If that's the way that you want to live, then I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to draw you. You're still going to feel a touch every once in a while, you know, on a Sunday night service. You're going to feel so reprieved, so relieved. You feel, oh, thank you, Jesus, I feel good again. Somebody help me get to the door, carrying my burden for Jesus. And Jesus is simply saying, hey, you know, there's a thing called a burnt offering, and if you would just skip all of the extracurricular stuff, if you would just forget all of the extra stuff in life, and you would just surrender to me totally, you would find that living for God is actually pretty easy.
Oh, pray for me. I'm just struggling. I'm just trying to make it. I know I'm not doing very. Just pray. Just pray. If you would just let go of something. Whoa, Jesus, I feel something here tonight. Some of us are struggling in the spirit. And I cannot get ahead of myself because we got an offering for this one here too. But some of us are struggling in the spirit. Amen. Because we have aught with our brother. And we refuse to let it go. No, I'm just going to carry this grudge like a gorilla. You see them up there dancing and shouting. You look and you say, you hypocrite. That's funny, but that's the truth. There's people, they cannot get the victory because they will not lay down a grudge. That's what this, Jesus is saying. Now, I don't know if you're going to make it to heaven like that, but nevertheless, Jesus is saying this whole time, he said, look, if you'll just give me an entire life, if you'll just totally surrender and be totally consumed by the fire, you'll find out that you're going to have a whole lot easier time walking this life, amen, this walk for God, than you would with that gorilla on your back. Well, praise the Lord. I'm feeling way too good. Because you know I'm right. You know I'm preaching the truth. And while I'm up here talking about this 800-pound gorilla, you've already named yours. You refuse to put it down. You refuse to let it go. Some of it's just worldliness and carnality. There are going to be people that are going to die lost simply because of video games. I'm not preaching against video games, but I'm telling you, I know people that are totally, totally consumed by them. I know grown men. Jesus, help me today. It's getting deep in here tonight. I know grown men that won't even go to bed with their wife. And they wonder why they have marital problems, number one. But number two, they'll stay up till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning playing a video game, playing on the computer, playing on some gaming console, doing something. And they want to sleep till noon and they put their job in jeopardy and all that other stuff. And then they have the audacity to come in right when Sunday morning service is starting with their eyes barely held open and plop down in the pew and is like, all right, God bless me. Here I am. Hey, that's the truth though. We're not talking on a marital seminar here, but come on. You know what? Some men, they just need to grow up. You know, what did Paul say? He said, when I was a kid, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I'd done things as a child. He said, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Glory to God. I better stop while I'm ahead. Praise God. And we can't live for God successfully because of all of this baggage that we're carrying. And you're saying, well, preacher, you can't condemn me because I'm still speaking in tongues and I'm still faithful. But you're struggling! And it's only a miracle of God that we oftentimes make it from Wednesday night to Sunday or from Sunday to Sunday because of all of this extra junk that we've got hooked on top of us. And God is saying the whole time, you're not going to fault me. I've got an offering for this and it's voluntary. You can do it if you want to, but if you don't want to do it, you can just carry all of that everywhere. But when you come into heaven, you're going to drop it on the outside. I don't believe there's going to be any video games in heaven. Yeah, we always say, there's no cigarettes in heaven. I wouldn't go to hell for a cigarette. I wouldn't go to hell for a bottle of beer. There's no beer. There's no cigarettes in heaven. There ain't no video games in heaven either. And there ain't no sports statistics in heaven either. And there's no grudges in heaven either. So we might as well just find that altar and say, okay, God, here it is. I'm putting my entire life on this altar. Amen, friend. If God wants you to have it, it'll be pure gold, because that everything that can be tried by the fire must go through the fire. And everything that's hay, wood, and stubble is going to be consumed. But friend, when you get up off of the altar, you're going to be tried like a refiner through the refiner's fire, and you'll be pure gold. Amen. You'll be beautiful in the sight of God. And everything that you've been struggling with is going to be burnt up in the fire. I'm talking to somebody in the Holy Ghost right now. You're struggling. You don't know what the answer is. I'm telling you, get on your altar. Number one, you need to rebuild your altar. Number two, you need to become the sacrifice. Get on that altar and let God consume the cares of your life.
Yeah, you're not going to get on that altar because you don't want to get on that altar. You'd rather complain than have joy and victory. Well, I just felt that in the Holy Ghost. You'd rather have a long, sad face. You'd rather be long in the lips. Amen. You'd rather be frowning. You'd rather people feel sorry for you. You'd rather be all of that. You say, preacher, you don't understand. It's hard. I'm telling you what, every one of us can stand up and we can give equally hard stories. Every one of us, amen, have got stories that we can talk about. And my story may not be exactly your story, and I may not have been able to go through your part. But friend, I don't know that you could have went through my part. We go through everything, and the Bible says that God will not put anything upon us that we cannot bear. If you want to let it go, you can let it go. Why don't you get tired of harboring those spirits? Why don't you get tired of harboring that junk and those feelings, and just let them go and get full of the Holy Ghost? Well, I feel the Holy Ghost here right now. I feel led to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost right now that if you'll turn it over and you'll give it to God and let God consume it, what will come back to you will be pure gold. What will come back to you will be pure. And it's not going to be hay, wood, and stubble, because that's what you're trying to protect right now is hay, wood, and stubble. But if you'll give your entire life to God, God will give you a dream. God will give you a vision. God will give you a hope. God will put things back together again. But you've got to give it to God. Let's love the Lord here today. Praise God. Let's move on. I'm going to close after this one. I'm not done, but I'm going to close after this one. Leviticus chapter number 2. Another voluntary offering. And this one was called a meat offering. Now, a meat offering was extremely different, because there's no blood involved in this offering. It's called the meat offering, but it's not really a meat offering. But there's no blood. There's no blood made in this offering. It was a voluntary offering of fine flour and oil with frankincense and in recognition of God's goodness and provisions. And it was made without the shedding of blood. There was no blood that was in that. And again, it was recognition of God's goodness, provision, but with no blood. What does this represent? Romans chapter number 12. Verse number 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is what this represents. This meat offering represented a living sacrifice. I said it the other night. I'm going to say it again. You know what the problem with a living sacrifice is? Keeps getting off the altar. Keeps wandering around. You got to go grab it and you got to bring it back over. No, you're going to get right back up here on this altar. And it stays there on that altar for a little while. And then something catches its attention and is wanders off again, goes somewhere else. Now, this is what God desires. This is what God wants. But through it all, God said, now, this is just a voluntary offering. So you do it if you want to do it. But in recognition to God's goodness and such, we present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God. And so in presenting ourselves unto God as a living sacrifice, we are a representation of God's goodness and God's mercy. And that way people can look at us and people can see joy and happiness and goodness. And they wonder why we're different. They wonder why we're happy. They wonder, how can it be in all of this political chaos? How can it be? It's because I don't belong to this world. I'm giving my body a living sacrifice unto the Lord. I'm committing all of my ways unto Him. But God's not going to get any joy and glory necessarily out of a dead church, a dead sacrifice. We're lively stones. We're showing forth the praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And we can only do this as a living sacrifice, presenting our bodies holy, acceptable unto the Lord. Friend, when that altar is right, amen, when you stay on that altar, you shall, amen, be holy. Amen. He talked about the sin offering. We'll get into that at another time. We will get there. Amen. But when you do that every day, making a bullock every day for that sin offering, and you get up there and you are offering that and you're making atonement for that altar, everything that touches that altar shall be holy. Amen. And that's why when we come to God, amen, and we do these voluntary offerings, and we are consumed completely, and we give ourselves 100% fully unto God, amen, God gets glory out of that. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Everything that you say can come out from under the cloak of humility, but it will be holy. Amen. You'll make sure that when you go outside, amen, that your dress is holy. Amen. When you're talking with people, your conversation is holy. Your lifestyle is holy. Everything is holy. And it's not necessarily because you're going through the closet nitpicking, but when you stay upon that altar, amen, you just sense, and you know what? That's not holy. We ain't wearing that anymore. We're not doing that anymore. We're not going there anymore. Why? Because we're a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Amen. Giving ourselves unto God. And God can consume that sacrifice with His presence. Let's stand here tonight. Praise God. Praise God. So I'm going to make myself a note that this is where we are. We'll probably come back next Wednesday. We'll see. But the responsibility is ours. God didn't say, step out of the way so I can cleanse that altar. Move out of the way so I can build that altar up. God said, the responsibility is yours. God didn't make Cain's altar. He didn't make Abel's altar. They each made their own. God's not going to make you an altar and come delivered unto you and say, here's what you need. No. But what's going to happen is you're going to get to a point in your life that you're going to go back looking for God. You're going to be overwhelmed in life, looking for the favor of God, humbling yourself, seeking His face and praying. You're going to go to an altar. And when you get to that altar, you're going to say, oh me. Because that altar is going to be broken down and disarrayed. And you're going to have to take your entire life to create that altar, because that's what God wants. He wants all, not just fragments. He wants all. And so when you get down to prepare that altar, God's going to say, I want all. And you're going to have to give God everything. Maybe you're going to come to that altar on a voluntary basis and you're going to say, God, I'm so tired of carrying all of this around. I'm weak, I'm feeble. My spirit, my mind is not what it needs to be. It's time, God, that that's all that's consumed. And so I'm giving you these feelings. I'm giving you these cares. I'm giving you this carnality, this worldliness. I'm giving you friends. I'm giving you associates, acquaintances. I'm giving you relationships. I'm giving you family. I'm giving it all to you because I'm tired of carrying this around trying to live for you. I can't do it anymore. You put it on that altar and let God consume it. Or maybe one day you're just tired of running. Okay, God, I'm tired of running, and so I'm going to give you my whole life. And I'm going to get up on this altar and just let you use me, consume me, until there's nothing left of me. Use me however that you choose to. Whatever you need to use me for, consume me. And I'm going to stay right here on this altar until the day that I die. Praise God. That's just two of the offerings. Now I'm going to open up this altar here tonight. And I'm going to ask you to come visit your altar. It's not an altar of a step or an altar here at the platform or off. I want you to visit your personal altar, and I want you to take evaluation of that altar. It starts there first. God, let me see my altar for what it really is. Help me, oh God, to see my altar today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's spend some time right here.